Are you willing to do whatever it takes to not lose your salvation? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to prioritize your relationship with God first and foremost? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get to heaven?
I know that many of you enjoy the fact that we start our episodes with jokes. And so, because of that positive feedback, I decided to enter a joke competition. I actually submitted 10 puns to a national joke competition. And I really thought with that many, like, one was sure to be a winner. But sadly, no pun intended. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 259. If it's your first time listening, I hope you enjoyed that. We start every episode with a dad joke. Some of them are better than others. But if it is your first time listening, please rate and review this podcast. It certainly does help other people find it. And please share it with others that you think might enjoy it or benefit from it. You can do that on Instagram by tagging us at @ManaFoodForThought or going to our website, manafoodforthought.com or manafft.com. That's manafft.com to find all of our social media handles and our content. And while you're there, click on the subscribe button on the homepage and you will be signed up for our weekly psalm reflection, which will come straight to your inbox every Wednesday morning. That's all you'll get. We won't spam you. And if you feel so inclined, click on the give button on the homepage. That will take you to our Patreon page where you can sign up to support this podcast financially for as little as $1 a month and become a patron. And patrons get access to the occasional exclusive content and perks and my eternal gratitude, thanks, and prayers. And so thank you to all of you who are here, first time, long time listeners, our patrons. Let's get into our joy junk and Jesus. My joy is that this past week we had a wonderful parish mission. I was just very vibrant, very prayerful. The Lord really showed up for a lot of people in a lot of wonderful ways. And you just really get to see the community on display and how people draw near to one another and enjoy one another at this parish. And so it's a really cool thing to see. The junk was that I was away from home a lot last week. Pretty much every night of the week last week I was gone. But the Jesus moments were over the weekend. I had a full Saturday free to spend with the family. Went to the zoo. We had a picnic in the park. We just got to do all these fun things. And then Sunday, yesterday, as I'm recording, this was my mother's birthday. And so we got to go out to dinner and just spend time with my parents, my in-laws, and my wife and children, and just have a really wonderful time. So the Lord, I don't know, is just really showing up in really beautiful ways by allowing us to be present in the moment. And it was really nice to be able to do those things and enjoy our time together without like stressing about it with our new, you know, still new diagnosis for our son of being type 1 diabetic. You know, it can be easy to get stressed out when you go somewhere and not know, like, okay, how much do we give him? What is he actually eating? You know, we don't have a scale or a food label with us. And so it was nice over the weekend. It didn't really feel like we were stressing that much about that. And we really just got to enjoy what we were able to do together and that time we were able to share. So hope you're able to share some time with the people that you love. Maybe if not, this is a reminder to prioritize that so that you can really see the beauty of what the Lord has to offer you in those relationships. But let's get into our episode. We are looking at the second reading for this upcoming Sunday, which is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Now, as I've mentioned, the fifth Sunday of Lent is one of the scrutinies. It's the last scrutiny for those who are becoming Catholic. And so if you happen to go to the Mass where the scrutiny is happening, you'll hear a different set of readings. But if you're at any of the other Masses, you will hear the Cycle C readings, and you will hear this reading for your second reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. This is St. Paul writing to the church in Philippi, which is in Greece, a church he helped establish and helped advise in times of difficulty when they were facing certain challenges about what it meant to be Christian. Paul helps address those issues they're facing in the community and encourage them to hold fast to the things that he taught them, to continue to persevere in the faith, and to correct some of those mistakes or errors in theology that they may be struggling with. And so let's listen to what he has in store for this part of Philippians toward the ending part of his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it, or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead. I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a really interesting letter. It's one of a few letters that Paul writes from prison. Paul is imprisoned in Rome once or maybe two separate times toward the end of his life before he is beheaded as a martyr for the faith. And while he's in prison, he writes Philippians, and Philippians is ironically nicknamed the Epistle of Joy because there's so much joy and enthusiasm and excitement for the Lord despite his circumstances that he is writing with this just zeal. And I just been reflecting on that he's in jail. Like, he's been deprived of all the other luxuries of life. And when that happens, things tend to fall back into their right order. We start to see things more clearly. So this is why Paul is saying, like, I've accepted the loss of all things and I consider them so much rubbish. Like, I consider them all, the actual word in Greek there is skubala, which is like a curse word for, like, you know, animal droppings, you know, or human droppings. You know, it's considered a pretty scandalous word. And he's basically saying, like, I consider everything that I owned or claimed to my name before Christ Jesus all to be like that, to just be total rubbish. My pursuit is something different now. I'm pursuing Jesus Christ. That's my goal. I'm forgetting what lies behind. I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. Now imagine having this mentality, being in jail. Everything has been taken from him. And instead of being in despair and wondering about when he's going to get out or what's going to happen to him, he's almost like, good, I don't need any of that stuff. I've got Jesus. Like, this is great. Let me tell everyone else about how to be in this similar state of mind as me. And it's been making me think about how he uses this phrase, like, I've been possessed or been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. You know, when we talk about being possessed in theology, we're usually talking about demonic possession. And that's obviously a very bad and scary thing. Incredibly rare, but it does happen. But Paul here is offering the opposite alternative, like being possessed by Christ Jesus. And the way that happens is through the sacraments. Like, we get the indwelling, the embodiment of Christ Jesus and his grace in our very bodies, minds, and souls through the sacramental grace that we receive when we receive sacraments. And so he's almost inviting people into that by using his state of being in prison as a lesson for them to, like, basically cut yourselves off, imprison yourself away from all these things that do not matter and that distract you. You know, this has reminded me a lot of my own Lenten journey. And I'm going to tell you right now up front, I'm not telling you this as someone who does this perfectly and doesn't have a whole lot more of this to do. But I've been many times in my life, and maybe you've been here too, I've been in places where I've looked at myself and been like, why is this so hard? Why can't I just kick this habit? Why can't I just be better? Why can't I be more disciplined in my prayer or in the things that I know that I want to do? Right? Like Paul says, like, I do the things that I do not want, but I do not do the things that I do want. Like, so often I found myself in that position. And this Lent was a game changer for me in a lot of different ways. I started my Lent early, as you know, and I just gave up caffeine. I mean, I was having like a gallon of caffeinated tea at least every single day. And it was just keeping me going. And when I didn't have it, I just felt awful. I had this terrible headache. I felt miserable and tired. And even when I was having it, I was still finding myself in bouts of frustration, irritation, anger, you know, feeling very tired, lacking in energy, almost like part of my personality was gone. And now that I've given it up, I'll tell you, I haven't felt better in years. Like, I never want to go back. I get more sleep, I have more energy, I'm never tired throughout the day. My focus is so much better, I'm so much more productive. And the same thing can be true for the first time in my life, I've given up social media. I couldn't before for many years because I was managing some kind of social media for ministry. And now that I'm no longer in youth ministry, no longer managing that, and for the podcast, I can do that on a business suite that I don't actually have to go on the actual sites and look at the pages in order to schedule things. And so I can pretty much cut out that completely. No scrolling, no looking at posts. Like, and I haven't missed it at all. Like, I'm not thinking about what could be or what other people think or what they're doing at all. I'm able to focus and be so much more present than I could before. Now I only look at my phone really to check my son's blood sugar, which is now on my phone, which is almost like my alternative social media. I find myself checking it all at all times throughout the day. But, you know, it's not like I'm on my phone when I could be socializing with other people, which is the temptation when there's so much available to you, because you see your present circumstances as you're with other people, but there's also an extended community that you could invite into that space when you're on social media. However, that often comes off as very rude, and it prevents you from being present to the person in front of you. And it lends to just sort of an addictive, oh, I'm in a lull, I don't really know what to work on next at work, or I'm not feeling very productive, let me just spend a few minutes scrolling and you know, kind of mind-numbing myself into some kind of state of productivity, which never really happens. We get lost on scrolling on YouTube and all these things, and it's just not worth it. And then this Lent, I've gotten back to fasting every day. I've cut out gluten, dairy, you know, sugar, processed foods, artificial sweeteners, all these things that lend themselves to poor bodily health, especially for me and my autoimmune condition, but in general lead to more inflammation and bad bodily health for most people. I've gotten all those addictive and inflammatory foods out of my system. And so now I'm craving good things. I'm not sluggish. I don't feel bloated. I'm not living with constant cravings or headaches. I'm giving myself the ability and the permission to say no. And that's what I really think Lent is about. And what Paul is inviting us into in this reading is he's basically saying, like, imprison yourselves off from all the things that don't matter. Imprison yourself from the things that lead you away from the Lord. Lock them away. Remove your access from them completely. And I know how we justify these things. I've done it in my own life too, but oh, I need it for this. Or it's okay sometimes if I'm only using it this much or this often or for this purpose. But ultimately, like, is it worth your salvation? Is it worth losing your salvation? Is it worth hell? Is it worth experiencing constant misery in your body, your mind, and or your soul? No, like, nothing is. Nothing is worth that frame of mind, that state of being that distracts us from the Lord, that impedes us from being the people that He created us to be. And the enemy will use every access point we give him, every point where he can invade us with lust, pride, sloth, gluttony, all of the deadly sins. He'll use every advantage we give him, every access that we allow into our lives. He will walk through those doors and try and pervert it and turn it upside down and make it an obsession, make it an addiction, make us dependent on these things instead of being dependent on the Lord. We need to take the words of Scripture to heart. Like Paul says in Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Brothers and sisters, I feel like for the first time in a long time, I'm really living. And I felt like scales fell from my eyes and this weight fell from my mind and my body. I don't feel as heavy, as clouded, as thick in my mental space when it comes to being productive or focusing on anything. Like, I feel so much lighter, so much more at ease. And sure, like, there's still more things that I need to do this to for sure. But I think these were big things that I needed to root out and that a lot of people are dependent upon and that play a huge role in their lives in terms of their happiness, their distraction, their ability to focus. Our addiction to things, the things we put in our body, and the things we consume in media. All of that just takes up so much of our time and attention and warps our understanding of reality, and we don't really recognize it. Colossians 3, verses 5 to 10 says this, put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient.
By these two, you once conducted yourselves when you lived in that way, but now you must put them all away. Anger, fury, malice, slander, and obscene language out of your mouths. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. These are our marching orders, brothers and sisters. This is what Lent is all about. This is what the Christian life is all about, is imprisoning these things away and cutting yourself off from these luxuries and distractions that actually get in the way of you making the decisions you need to make to follow the Lord more faithfully. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to not lose your salvation? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to prioritize your relationship with God first and foremost? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get to heaven? Saint Leo of Catania, he was a saint who stopped a sorcerer named Heliodorus by lighting this massive blaze and jumping into the fire with Heliodorus until the sorcerer burned up and only he remained, being miraculously preserved from the fire. He was willing to take this battle to his death in order to root sin out of his life and out of the world around him. There's a story that says that Saint Christopher was too handsome and asked God to make him ugly so he wouldn't be a temptation to anyone. Saint Benedict, when he would have temptations of the flesh, temptations of the sins of lust, you know what he would do? He would throw himself into a thorn bush. Saint Simeon, the Stylite, the elder, he was a saint in a monastery, but he kept having these people come to him and he just wanted to live a quiet life. And so he ended up finding these old ruins and he climbed up this 9-foot-tall pillar and he just sat up there. And in order to keep himself there, he tied this rope so tight to his legs that this rope started to dig in to his legs and maggots started to form around his legs. And when the maggots would fall out, he would scoop them up and he would put them back on his leg and he would say something to the effect of, here is the food that the Lord has given you to eat. Allowed himself to be so completely disconnected from the world that he became food for maggots and he was completely content and happy. Like, that is the degree that certain saints were willing to go to get away from sin and away from the things of the world that they saw as being corruptive, corrosive to their ability to pursue the Lord and pursue virtue. In our attitude towards sin, in our attitude toward detaching from the things that draw us away from the Lord, there is only 0% or 100% effort. That does not mean 100% success by any means, but we must be willing to do and try anything and everything to root out the things that cause us to sin. We must keep our eyes on the goal, which is heaven, and anything that does not lead us there is dead weight. It's skubala, it's rubbish, it needs to get out of our lives. And so, brothers and sisters, my challenge to you as we continue to persevere toward Lent, do not give up. Recommit to the things that you promised the Lord, or commit to new things, and put yourself and your desires in jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200, because everything we are tempted to hold on to is rubbish in comparison to the glory that the Lord has in store for us. So pursue Him. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Imprison everything else away. Whatever you need to do to get up and move away from it, to go out and run away from it. If you're tempted in the middle of the night for lust, get up and run out of your house. Go out into the cold. Whatever you need to do to get away from that temptation. People who study the science of temptation and sin say that it takes that first 10 seconds. And if we're not willing to say no to it in those first 10 seconds, then the likelihood we'll say no to it after that is slim to none. All you need is a heroic amount of virtue for 10 seconds, and you will be able to persevere, to put these things away, to imprison them off from your life so that you can live in the freedom of the relationship with Jesus Christ and the life that He has in store for you. That is my wish for you. That is the purpose of Lent. That is what the Bible is calling us to, especially in the second reading this week from Philippians. And our brother St. Paul in heaven, we ask him to intercede for us and the ways we need to turn away from sin, turn our lives around. No one is a better example of a complete 180-degree conversion than St. Paul. And so if you need his intercession this week, ask for it. Ask for it in the specific ways that you struggle, and be willing to try anything and everything that the Lord reveals in prayer and that St. Paul's prayers send your way to root that sin out completely. That is all I have for you this week, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist. God bless.